Welcome into Inside the Den, your look inside Lees McRae Athletics. Inside the Den is produced for the sole purpose of keeping Bobcat fans in the know and can be found on our website, lmcbobcats.com, or on SoundCloud. Just search Lees McRae Athletics. Now, here's your host, Tim Hall.
All right, Bobcat fans, we are back inside the den, and this week we have the head coach of the women's softball team, Coach Josh Bumgarner. Josh, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tim. I appreciate it.
All right. I've been looking forward to this because you've been at Lees McRae now for, you know, 5, 6 months, 7 months, and our paths have not crossed a whole lot, but I get the sense that somehow we've got similar backgrounds. We kind of look alike in a lot of ways. I know our age is in the same vicinity. So I've been looking forward to this because I want to learn more about you and what your background is like and how you ended up here. But first, tell me, how did you end up here? How are you now at Lees McRae, and why did you come to Lees McRae?
Well, to be honest with you, I might not know. But when I was a student at Appalachian State, my goal was to be a high school social studies teacher and a football coach. I was going to be a head football coach someday. The first job that I got at South Iredell High School as an assistant football coach, they also needed a head softball coach. And I had a background as the manager of the softball team at Alexander Central High School, where I graduated from, which is a big-time softball school. The softball coach was also my football coach. So we had a good relationship, and I got in with him, being the manager there, fell in love with softball, used that to get my foot in the door at South Iredell. After 1 year of doing both football and softball, the principal said, if you want to focus just solely on softball, since you're the head coach, we'll let you out of your football agreement. I said, I would love to do that. So that was, this is going on 18 years that I've been coaching now. So 18 years ago, started this journey, and I've done everything from middle school to Division II college softball now. So that's kind of how I got here.
Okay. Yep, I'm seeing the similarities of the timing, especially between you and I. Before a coach, did you play football in high school? What did you play? Did you play sports in high school?
I played football and basketball in high school. I did not pursue anything in college. I didn't feel like there was a very big market for a 5'8", 135, 140-pound athlete. So, but I loved football, probably more so than basketball. Was a defensive back, all-conference defensive back in high school, even despite my height limitations. So I'm very proud of that, but always been very competitive, always athletically speaking, sports have been a big part of my life. I'm very competitive, and if I told my players the other day, if you can't play, coaching is the next best thing.
That's a good point. Take me back to what you were saying about, it sounded to me as if, like, early on you had a sense of knowing what you wanted to do. Like, how did you decide that? How did you know that so early what you wanted?
Actually, I knew at 10 years old what I wanted to do. I knew when I was 10 years old I wanted to be a coach, and I wanted to teach high school. To start with, I wanted to teach math, but I found out very quickly that I'm not very good at math. So I went the social studies route. I've always, again, I live in a family of coaches. My uncle was a girls' basketball and football coach for years. My dad is still a girls' basketball coach. He coaches at Tabernacle Christian School in Hickory, North Carolina. My cousins, it's just in my family. So I always knew that coaching was something I wanted to do. And to do that, you also had to, you know, get an education degree. So that was part of it. But then I also found out 5 years ago when I took the head coaching position at Catawba Valley Community College that I wanted to pursue that and move away from the classroom and just focus on being a college softball coach. But I've always had a passion for sports. I've always been competitive. I've always wanted to be someone that helped young people when I got old enough to do that. So that's why I do what I do.
Well, that was going to be part of my next question is, why coaching? On our team, I emphasize a lot of like the decision of what you want. I mean, that's important. You shouldn't be doing anything if you don't know what you want to do. I mean, that's the first step, in my opinion, is deciding on what you want and then going towards that direction. How badly do you want it? And it sounds like you knew and you wanted it pretty badly. But then there's these like pivot points and these transitions that you experience. And you just somewhat answered it about helping people. But what was it? I know it's in your family, but just coaching itself. Like, what is it about coaching that you think, all right, this is my thing I love to do, whether you want to call it a calling, a profession? Like, why?
You mentioned calling. I do think it's a calling. My faith in my life has been the driving force, my faith in God and believing that He put me here for a purpose. And it's a pretty cool feeling to know that you're doing exactly what you were birthed into this world to do. And that's how I look at coaching. But why coaching? I'm competitive. I love to compete. I love the thrill of victory, and I love the lessons of losing. You know, I'm a very driven person. You know, let's strap it up and go head to head and see who comes out on top. And if you do, I'll shake your hand, but I'm going to work my tail off to beat you the next time. So that's kind of why coaching. And like I said, if I'm too old to play now, coaching's the next best thing.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. So you started off in high school, had a pretty long career, and decided to then go to Catawba Valley Community College. So I know what it's like to leave and let go. You've done it a couple times. What was it like to go from the high school experience to now college and community college? And you started a program. So tell me that story about starting it from scratch. What was that like? It had to be exciting, I would think. And then you were pretty successful there, mm-hmm. and now you're here. So, yeah, walk us through that.
I still taught at Alexander Central while coaching at Catawba Valley. I didn't have an office job there or a job other than coaching there, and had gotten out of softball at Alexander Central. The head coach that I assisted, Darryl Atkins, retired in 2018, and I applied for the job, but didn't get it. So I was, and honestly, I was, in my mind, I thought I was done with softball. Found out around Thanksgiving of 2018 that Catawba Valley was going to start a program, and something down deep inside of me said, you know, maybe I'll give it one more shot. So I sent in my application and my resume and got a phone call from the athletic director there, Nick Schroeder. Came in for an interview, and you can believe me if you want to or not, it doesn't really matter to me, but I knew when I left that interview that day that I was going to be the coach at Catawba Valley. And to be able to start the program from scratch and put my stamp on it, is something that's very special, something that I'll always cherish. It had some challenges with it. I didn't get named the head coach until around the 1st of March of 2019, and had to find players to come in August of 2019. So I was very busy. And that was challenging, but we got to around, I don't remember exactly, it was somewhere around 18 to 20 players that we were able to recruit and bring in. And then just tried to build from the ground up a solid program. COVID, you know, happened during all that. It cut our first season short. So that was something that I wish we could have seen the end of that first season. That group, you know, I was figuring it out as a first-time college coach. They were figuring it out as freshmen, a team of freshmen. We didn't have any sophomores. We were starting to figure things out. And, you know, we were 11-9 whenever we ended that
COVID. For a first-year program to be – to have a greater than 50% winning percentage, I would say is pretty remarkable.
Oh yeah.
With all freshmen?
I was very, very pleased with you know, what we were doing and how they were playing. And like I said, they were starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hitting – we played a tough schedule. So to be, you know, two games above 500 – I was very, very happy with, but we just kept getting better and better. Our recruiting classes, I would say, man, how am I going to top this class? But, you know, every year it seemed like we were getting better and better and better. Pitching was getting better and better. So we were very fortunate. I had some good players there.
Mm-hmm. So you're there for, what, 4 years?
Four years.
How difficult was it to transition working with Daly working with high school kids, you know, 14, 15, 17, 18, to now community college, you know, it's mainly it's freshmen, sophomores, 18, 19, maybe they turned 20. What was the difference that you saw between the high school kids and college kids, that transition for you as a coach and then the athletes as well?
Well, I was definitely dealing with the younger
Yep.
high school kids. I taught ninth grade world history.
Oh, okay.
So all day, every day. So I was dealing with the youngest ones there, the most energetic ones there, the most rowdy ones there, however you want to mm-hmm. you want to call it. So to be able to leave from that during the day and go to Hickory in the afternoons and be around freshmen and sophomore 18 and 19 year old college girls, college athletes, was refreshing. You know, they're girls. There's going to be, you know, drama. It is what it is. And I would tell my softball players the same thing if they were here. So, but it wasn't to a degree where I had to do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
They managed it and policed it themselves. So it was refreshing in that sense to not have to, you know, have your thumb and constantly be on guard and
could actually coach.
That. Right. You can get stuff done.
Yeah.
And you're not just a, you know, it seems like sometimes in the classroom it was just babysitting.
Yeah.
To instead of getting stuff, you know, stuff done. So it was definitely a breath of fresh air for me. And from transitioning from Catawba Valley coaching freshmen and sophomores to now having a team of seniors and juniors on it has been even more refreshing, if you want to use that word again. My upperclassmen have been outstanding. They've really helped, you know, because in the fall for a pretty good while I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't have an assistant. My seniors really stepped up, took a lot off my plate, and helped with the transition of everything. So it's been really, really positive. Everything about this whole transition yeah. has been positive.
Well, a good lesson there you just said for other coaches out there, or any leader really, is you delegated, and the delegation that we make as coaches doesn't all have to be on an assistant coach. In fact, right. it really should be more on the players and provide them that autonomy to get things done. Because if you give them responsibility in the thing that they're most interested in, especially,
right.
they're going to take it if you give them the right direction.
Yeah.
So I think that's when you know you're onto something really special, is when they do take hold of that responsibility and they run with it. And then again, like you said a minute ago, it just frees you up to do other more important things. It's even going to help them to be even better. So when you made the decision to, you see the opening here at Lees McRae, and you started that program from scratch, you've been with them for 4 years, how did it feel? How easy or difficult was it for you to let go of that and now come here? And now your whole concentration isn't, I'm in the classroom, I'm working with two diverse groups of people. Now I'm locked in with one group at one location. Yeah, walk and talk me through that, of the letting go process, number one, and now to this.
I had to let go of two things, two positions.
Mm.
first at Alexander Central, you know, there are days that I miss my interactions with students. I had some good relationships with the kids there, not just the freshmen, but, you know, all four different classes. And then I worked, our building that we worked in was sort of the back side of campus, and upstairs in that building, that hallway is a special group of people that I consider family. And having to tell them that I was leaving, that was tough. And telling some of my kiddos, you know, that I'd taught was tough. And then, you know, with Catawba Valley, them giving me my start at the collegiate level, Dr. Henshaw, the president, and Nick Schroeder, the athletic director, being willing to take a chance on a guy that had zero college experience, I owe a lot to them. And to leave a place that gives you your start is also tough. But, you know, I looked at it as a situation where we had had a really good year. We finished ranked in the top 10 in the nation in Division II junior college softball. I won Coach of the Year and thought, you know, if there's ever going to be a time where I might can get some interest at the four-year level, this is probably it. So, you know, I sent out a handful of resumes and applications to different jobs. Lees McRae was the only one that reached out. And if, in all honesty, for my situation of not moving here, not uprooting my family and taking my wife away from the support system that she has to help her with the kids while I'm gone, Lees McRae was the best fit, hands down, no question about it. It's close enough to where I can drive every single day to get here. My family's, you know, still down in Taylorsville, thriving. You know, everything has worked out so great and like it should have been.
Well, now you're here and firmly planting yourself in this, your first season here at Lees McRae. The season has kicked off, and so catch me up. I know you've had some weather issues, got some rain outs. You have played a couple games, I think.
We've played two games.
Yeah. So you're learning the team, kicking off the season. And, of course, as a coach, you're starting off a season, all of us, we're always looking forward to, like, all right, what's going to happen? But what are you, as a person and as a coach, what is it that you're most looking forward to in this season?
Again, from a competitor standpoint, just, you know, wanting to show and trying to instill this into our players, you know, hey, you belong here. Just wanting to show that I belong here, that, you know, that Craig's confidence in me to lead this program wasn't in vain, that, you know, to prove him right and prove the naysayers wrong. I'm looking forward to taking the field with our girls. I have a great group of players. I love them to death. They've been so wonderful to be around and make my first, you know, year here very memorable and easy in a lot of regards. I didn't have to change a whole lot. We kind of continued a lot of the things as far as standards and expectations that Coach Foyler and Coach Mo had already had in place. So we've just, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know, kind of thing. Obviously, I'm going to put my own twist on it, my own spin. You know, it's Lees McRae softball. The foundation has been laid there, and we're just looking to build on top of that. So I'm excited about that, to continue the tradition, especially in the last 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. The success that they've had. And again, let's strap it up. Let's see who's better. You know?
Well, two words that jump out I want to talk a little about is, one, for softball specifically, is tradition, and how really it's still somewhat in the infancy stage, even though it began two coaches before you. That's when it started, Jacqueline Poole, then Kendall, mm-hmm. and now you. And so it's still in that early phase, and I believe still lots of room to grow when you think about what is out there to achieve. But the previous years, really, I think from an outsider watching it happen, it lit a fire in a lot of players' eyes about, you mean we can win and we can do these things? And like that, when that idea gets in your head and you get a taste of it, things begin to take off, don't they?
Right, yeah, 100%. And that's one thing that especially our juniors and seniors who've been here the longest, you know, they're talking about not wanting to let the ball drop, you know, on their watch when it's quote unquote their team. And I'm all for it. You know, let's do whatever we have to do to not go backwards, but to keep going forwards, because we can compete. And it's not a thing where I just want to compete at a conference level. I want us to be competitive at a national level. You know, I don't want it to be, we make regionals this year and then we go 3 or 4 years and that's tough to do year in and year out. I understand that. But that's the goal that I have for this program and the vision and where I want to be.
Another word you said earlier that I want to touch on, because I think it is relevant, and you said naysayers. And not that I put a lot of stock in preseason polls. I don't. I think they're bull. I don't even know why athletics does it. I really don't. I think it's a waste of time. 'Cause especially now in the year of portals and transfers, like, it's irrelevant in my opinion. There's tradition. People are just voting on tradition, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
But the naysayers say, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're predicted 10th. And I thought, 10th? Did that many people leave us? Do we have this much upheaval? I just don't believe that. When that came out, what went through your mind, and then what message did you give the team?
what came out, I might not better say on, on the air. But I was definitely the first thing I did was I sent it to our players, and I said 10th with a lot of exclamation points and a lot of question marks behind that. I'm competitive already, but when you doubt me, that adds even more fuel to my fire. I've been doubted my whole life when it comes to athletics because of my build, how short I am, you know, all that stuff. So I've worked at proving people wrong since high school, even more so probably in my coaching career. You know, there were people that scratched their head when I was named the head coach at Catawba Valley, and we had success. I'm sure there were people that wondered, you know, who's this Bumgarner guy?
At some point, people have to start believing the evidence. At some point.
You would think, but I don't know. All I know is that I come to work every day to try to prove people wrong and prove to my players that it doesn't matter what others say about you. What do you believe about you? What do you got down deep inside that's going to fuel you and drive you to be successful?
Well, you're exactly right. And I think one of the biggest turning points any person or athlete certainly can make is when they finally stop caring what other people think, that's when they'll take off. And they just worry about themselves and what they need to get done. And they rally, their teammates together and just say, hey, let's go to work. And I like what you said earlier about I've never been a prove other people wrong kind of person. I've been more of like prove them right, you know, because I fortunately grew up with parents and coaches who were telling me what I was capable of, and I was just dumb enough to believe them. So I'm like, okay, it would confuse me, and like I would have a hard time in my head envisioning what they saw in me. But eventually I would say, well, they wouldn't lie to me. What's their motivation to lie to me? I'm going to believe it. And then I believed it, and then I worked towards it, and lo and behold, good things happen. Mm-hmm. So as you're kind of tailoring that message to your players, what's been the response from the players, especially after the success over the years, especially the upperclassmen, when they see this? Yes, how are they internalizing this and then going out and doing what they need to do to prove them wrong?
Well, I think it started in the fall. And one thing that I tried to, you know, we got roughed up a little bit at Western Carolina, But for the first half of that game, you know, we were up on a Division I school. So I tried to use that as a building point and say, look, you know, we're not going to be as quote unquote bad as people think we're going to be. You know, I told them, you know, I've been told all late summer after I was named the head coach here that, you know, you're not going to be quite as good as they were in the past. So, you know, taper your expectations. And I was like,
no, that's not good enough.
That's not in me.
Yeah.
And, you know, after playing the fall and seeing what we are capable of, you know, I told them straight up, we're not going to be as bad as people think we're going to be. We're going to be very capable of beating a lot of teams. That doesn't mean that you can coast and you don't have to put in the work. But if you're willing to put in the work, you're going to like the results. And in our exit meetings in the fall before they went home for winter break, you know, ask them, every single player, is there any reason that we can't be successful and compete for a conference championship? And all of them said, absolutely not. There's not one reason. So we're very young. We're very inexperienced. Probably only a handful or less have, you know, significant playing time returning on this roster. But there's enough pieces here that, you know, along with the growing pains, if we figure some things out, we'll be just fine by the time conference season rolls around.
Good, good. Okay, one final thing. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, and I wanted to talk about it. And because I had to go back and I read the press release of you coming to Lees McRae, and I like your, you know, what you said and what you shared as far as your excitement to be here, and you brought up your faith, and you talked about that earlier. So, as a person, as a coach, how has faith, how has it helped you be a coach? And how do you use your faith to communicate, express, engage with your athletes? Share that a little bit.
Well, if not for my faith, I don't know where or what I would be doing. And I've shared this with the girls before. Softball has brought me some of my highest highs in my life and some of my lowest lows. And, you know, when I got overlooked for the Alexander Central head coaching position for the softball team there, that was one of the lowest points of my life. I mean, low, like didn't care if I went to work or not. I mean, I went because that's what I was supposed to do, but that's just how I felt. I was hurt. So my faith is what helped bring me out of that valley, you know, if you will. I remember this specific moment that things turned for me. I was playing a game of horse with my son, my oldest son, in his bedroom on his little Nerf goal. Hmm. And he was, I don't know how old he was then, 8, 7, getting ready to turn 8, somewhere in there. And, you know, we attend church regularly as a family. And I told him, I said, watch this, Landon. I said, I'm going to show you a shot I used to do when I was a little boy like you. So I did this falling away kind of jump shot. I made it. But when I landed on his bed, I broke it. And he was tore up because that was, you know, that's his bed. But he said, we can pray to God that he'll fix my bed. And it was almost like God spoke to me in that moment and said, your son has more faith in me that I can work things out for him than you do. And that changed my whole perspective. And so when I heard about the Catawba Valley job, I was like, okay, let's put this to the test. You know, you said this, Lord, what, you know, show me the way right here. So I did. And I got that job. And the way that I try to get that across to my players is, and first and foremost, I never push my faith on my players. I have expressed how I believe and what I believe, and if they want to talk to me about it, my door is open. But I don't tell them or say, you have to believe. I never do that.
Right.
But the way that I try to express the biggest part of my faith is I try to show, and it used to be the opposite of this. I used to be a hard-nosed, disciplinary, you know, we're going to do it till we get it right. If it takes us all night, we're going to, and not a lot of compassion, not a lot of grace, not a lot of mercy there. Mm-hmm. And it, further along in my coaching career, as I've gotten older, I've went away from that.
Yep.
And again, God speaking to me said, what if I treated you the way you treat your players sometimes?
There's a lot of people that need to ask that question and of themselves.
And you talk about being floored. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's deep. That's big. And I've tried to steer away from, you know, there's not, don't get me wrong, there's times I have to get on a player or the team. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And, you know, I can get my point across without screaming, yelling, you know, tearing down. I can do that. So as far as how I express my faith to my players the most, I try to be loving to them. I try to be compassionate. I try to be showing mercy and grace. And that wasn't always the case with me. So I don't tell them enough, but I try to tell them every once in a while that, hey, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I'm here for you if you need me. So that's kind of how I try to incorporate my faith into what I do here at Lees McRae. Maybe not on a daily basis, but I try to as much as I can.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, that's what we're called to do as believers, is that we do. We weren't called to be pastors.
Right.
There's other people who were called to that role. Mm-hmm. We were called to do something different, but yet we were still put in place. And sometimes we know why. Most times we don't until many years later. And I love your story about how a lot of times the lowest points in our life, as terrible as it seems and feels at the time, is actually the most exciting pivotal moment, because it's just an opening to the next big thing. And I'm sure you're aware of that.
Right. 100%. And that's what I thought Alexander Central was it. That was my dream job. That was what, you know, I left South Iredell to come back home to do that, to work my way up, to be the head of that program. And then to not get it was devastated. But you know, if I'd have got the job at Alexander Central, I'm not sitting in this chair right now.
That's exactly right. It somehow always works out.
God had a plan, and I didn't know the plan. My plan was totally different, but he had a plan, and his plan has been greater and better than what mine was.
Hmm. Well, maybe one of these days I will share at large how I ended up here. And I haven't felt comfortable to share the whole story, but my story of how I ended up here is near exact what you experienced of applying for that job and being told no, and then having to scratch your head and think, did I do something wrong?
Right.
Yeah. What's not right with me? And then months pass, and all of a sudden you get a call or another opportunity comes up, and you're like, oh, okay, that's what's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So I can relate. But it's not fun to go through.
No, it wasn't fun.
It is not fun. Well, Josh, I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. I think the future is bright for the team. And it sounds like those athletes, they believe in it, because that's the most important thing. You know, you can believe, we can, as coaches, can believe whatever we want.
Right.
But in the end, it's up to what they think and what they believe and how they act on that and what they do about it. So, Josh, thanks for being on Inside the Den and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Listeners, appreciate you checking in with us again. Continue to follow our podcast, Inside the Den, on your favorite podcast platform. And keep up with Lees McRae Athletics on our website at lmcbobcats.com. Thanks, and peace out.
To listen to this episode again or to find previous episodes, go to our website, lmcbobcats.com. or find us on SoundCloud by searching Lees McRae Athletics. And as always, go Bobcats!